Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Hello, friends. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and I want to welcome you to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We're so grateful that you decided to make this your spiritual home for worship this Sunday morning. As we gather together for worship this day, I wanted to share with you that we're continuing in our sermon series about the Apostle Paul. You'll hear later a message from Reverend Lindsay Hall. As we gather together for this worship service, I want to encourage you to take a moment to visit our website and check out our digital connection card. It's the way that you can sign in and let us know that you were with us for worship this day. In addition to that, in that same menu on our website, there's an opportunity for you to fill out prayer cards. And there are folks who are gathering here at the church to pray for you and for whatever prayer concerns you might express in those online prayer cards. Finally, I want to let you know that we'd love it if you'd take a moment and share this service on your social media platform of choice so that others in your network can understand and hear the message and the experience, the worship service that we have for all of you today. We're so grateful that you decided to make this your spiritual home, and we hope that this service is a blessing for you and your family. As we worship God together, it's our hope that you will be able to know God and love God and serve God better by experiencing this worship service this day. So may it bless you as you worship with us this morning. Amen.
Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift our prayer to you. Be with us in worship. Clothe us with the fruits of the Spirit and help us to have forgiving hearts. Give us love for one another and help us to share your love in everything we do. In your holy name we pray. Amen. The Bible reading for this morning is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
This morning we have heard the scripture from the NIV translation, and I would invite us now to also hear the scripture again. This time I'm going to be reading from the Message translation. So hear now the word of God from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. And let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, word, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father every step of the way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O holy and loving God, in this time of worship, we have come to hear the scriptures. And now, God, may you speak to us through the scriptures, that we might cling to what we need to take away from this reading this morning. O holy God, now may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight. You, God, who are our rock and our Redeemer. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Last weekend, a couple weekends ago actually, I enjoyed a shopping trip to the outlet malls in Howell. And I took a couple of hours just to get away on a Saturday afternoon, just myself. John and the kids weren't with me. And I hadn't been clothing shopping since the beginning of the pandemic. It had been 15 months since I'd been shopping. You know, many stores have had their changing rooms closed. And so it's, to honor the pandemic restrictions. And so for the past 15 months or so, it just hasn't been very convenient to go clothing shopping. If you can't try on clothes, it's pretty hard to guess, you know, maybe what size you need. But now with the pandemic's restrictions lifting a little bit and lessening a little bit, the changing rooms in many stores are open again. And so I decided to go shopping. I decided to go purchase a few new clothes for my wardrobe just to kind of get away and have a little bit of fun. Well, as I visited one of the stores at the outlet mall, I tried on a variety of things. I tried on some shirts, some pants, some dresses. Some fit well. Others were too small. Other things were too large. Others just simply weren't my style, but a few things did work. And so I stepped up to the counter after I found a couple of things that worked to check out, and I was pretty excited to take these new items home to wear them and to get to wear them to work. Well, later that day, after I'd dried them and washed them and dried them, these new clothes, I then went to my closet and I hung them up in my closet. And I noticed as I was, we're putting these garments of clothing away, I noticed several things that I was ready to get rid of. Clothing that just didn't fit anymore, maybe it was too tight or it was too loose. I was ready to get rid of some things that were missing a button or were looking kind of worn or had a hole in the knees or just look a little faded or outdated. And pulling a couple of old things from my closet, then I made room for these new things to go in their place. I'm not much of one for fashion. I don't have tons of clothes. I'm not one really big on clothing and attire. I love comfortable things. So why on earth this morning am I talking about clothes and my shopping trip in worship? Well, this morning, as we turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17, we've heard the scripture passage in two translations now. We've heard it from the NIV translation, and we've also heard it from the Message translation. And as you listened to the scripture, or if you were to open up your Bible at home or pull up the scripture on your phone, as you listen to the words of scripture, you might note that some of the conversation is about clothing. Paul is writing to an audience not experiencing Fashion Week in Paris, but Paul is writing to the Colossians. He's writing to the church in Colossae. Paul's writing sometime probably in the 50s while he's imprisoned. And this morning, as we're listening into this scripture, we're actually reading somebody else's mail. We're reading a letter intended for a different group of people. And while it's not our mail, it certainly still speaks to us today. This letter, it's written while Paul was in prison. And so I would encourage you not just to hear this part of the letter this morning from Colossians 3, but I would encourage you for your homework assignment this week to read all of Colossians. Now it's not a huge homework assignment. The whole letter is only 4 chapters long. You could probably read it in 15 or 20 minutes. You know, less than that if you're a speed reader. But maybe that could be your homework assignment this morning. As we've dived into this sermon series called Sincerely Paul, we have been looking at Paul and many of his letters. We've learned a little bit of his life story. We're diving into some of his letters, and we'll look at his letter to the Colossians today. But if you are just joining us for worship, and if you haven't yet been a part of hearing about this sermon series, I want to give you a little bit more background to Paul, to hear his greater story. Now, if you've been following us on our sermon series, then this is information that you know. If that's the case, then this won't be new, but I wanna get those up to speed that maybe haven't tuned in yet. So a little bit more about Paul. He was formerly known as Saul. He was born sometime between 5 BC to probably 10 AD. He's from Tarsus. It was located 10 miles from the Mediterranean Sea between the Tarsus Mountains and the sea. This was a decent sized city, 200,000 people probably at the time. He was probably from a wealthy family. Maybe his parents were business owners. A little bit more about Paul. He was well educated. He was Jewish. He was a Roman citizen, and probably around the age 12 or 13, he headed to Jerusalem to study to become a rabbi. And as he finished rabbinical school in his young adulthood, he became actively opposing the Christian movement, actively opposing the gospel of Jesus Christ. On the first week of this sermon series about Paul, we looked at Acts. And from the book of Acts, we heard about Paul's conversion experience, how he had a change of heart and how he had a change of mind. And we learned, if you remember, from Acts, we learned that while Paul was heading down the Damascus Road, he had this experience where he experienced light and he fell to his knees and he was blind and he encountered Jesus. He was struck blind for 3 days. Saul, named as Saul at the time, he followed Jesus' leading. He went into the city of Damascus. He met a man named Ananias. He was healed. He received his sight. Something like scales came from his eyes. He was baptized, he was a believer, and he had a completely different experience of this change of heart, of this change of mind on the Damascus Road. He went from this persecuting Saul to this missionary Paul, to becoming a church planter, to becoming a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to becoming a great missionary. And his missionary work continued even when it put him in prison. Nothing would stop him from spreading the gospel of Jesus, even if it meant that his life would eventually end because of preaching the gospel and because of his work of Jesus Christ. But through that all, he always pressed on. Paul pressed on. And so this morning, as we read this letter from to the church in Colossae, as we read this letter intended for the Colossians, we're reading a letter that Paul wrote in prison, giving them instructions on the teachings of Jesus Christ. You might be fascinated, you might find it interesting to know that in this letter written to the Colossians, some scholars question if, in fact, it really was Paul that wrote this letter, or was it somebody else that's attributed to writing this letter? Some scholars argue that it may have been an early follower of Paul, who knew his style of writing and his theology well and is now writing in his name. Or if it was really Paul, the author, which it likely was, someone else, maybe perhaps Timothy, would have been the scribe writing as Paul asked. But regardless, if it was Paul himself who wrote the letter, or if it was Timothy who wrote him on behalf, or somebody else, these words for us are still words that we need to hear this morning. As we dive into this letter, in this letter that he's writing, we find ourselves with some specific instructions. Paul's writing, or the author's writing, with this ask for the church to put on some specific virtues, to put on some specific clothing, to clothe themselves in these specific virtues. And from the NIV translation, the author writes in verse 12 and verse 14, he writes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." If we look at the Message translation, the scripture puts it this way: "So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you." Isn't that great? Dress yourselves in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. And regardless of whatever else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. You know, this morning as we're gathered for worship across social media, as we're gathered across our homes and the electronic ways in which we can gather, we're gathered to worship God, we're gathered for prayer, to gather to praise God, but this morning we're also gathered to consider our clothing choices. We're here to consider our wardrobe. You know, we woke up this morning and we had an opportunity to pull on some pants and a shirt or dress or socks or shoes. We had a chance to choose from our closets what we wanted to wear. And maybe some of you are still in your pajamas. That's great too. But we got to decide our physical clothing of what we wanted to wear. I'm wearing my clergy robe this morning. We got to decide what we wore. Now, maybe we chose the clothing that we're wearing right now because it's comfortable, or we like the style, or we like the pattern, or it keeps us warm, or it keeps us cool. But whatever the reason is, we made an intentional clothing choice. This morning, as we hear these words of scripture, we also get to make some additional choices. We are asked from Paul's letter, which I believe are inspired words of God that speak to us today, we're asked to consider our spiritual clothing choices. We are asked to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and love. We're asked for it to become, as the Message translation says, we're asked for it to become our basic all-purpose garment, never to be without it. In this process of clothing ourselves in these virtues to which Paul is speaking, It becomes there for us then this process of becoming more and more like Christ. And as we become more and more like Christ each and every day, we experience God's sanctifying grace. Ah, sanctifying grace is a good United Methodist Wesleyan term, theological understanding. Sanctifying grace, it's that process daily of seeking God first, of faithfully following in Jesus' footsteps, of trying our best to let the words of Scripture fill our hearts and fill our minds, and letting our lives be modeled after Jesus Christ. But it's not just sanctifying grace that's there. Maybe you've heard of justifying grace, the kind of grace that calls us, that woos us, that God brings us into relationship with God. Prevenient grace, that kind of grace that's given to all people before they're even aware of God or God at work in their lives. Prevenient grace, that kind of grace that woos us, that calls us, that beckons us into a relationship with God. Prevenient grace, that grace that goes before us, that's extended to everyone. And then justifying grace, that grace that we experience, that we come to know, that we feel, the love and the grace of God that we receive as we profess faith in Jesus Christ, as we admit that we are a sinner in need of God's grace, that justifying grace. And then sanctifying grace, the grace that I speak about, that grace that we receive each and every day from God as we seek to be a little bit more and more like Jesus. And the work of sanctification, it's not easy, but thank goodness it's not something we do on our own. Grace is the work of God molding us and shaping us. It's that free gift given without cost. But even though it's a gift, it doesn't mean that we have nothing to do with it. We have to consciously make choices and decisions every day. We get to choose what kind of spiritual clothing we're going to put on. We get to choose what virtues of Christ we'd like to wear. Some things are more comfortable to wear than others, aren't they? Some clothing's more comfortable than others. Over the past, 15 months, right? Many of us have found ourselves working from home, wearing comfortable pants, more casual clothing, wearing sweatpants or yoga pants or, elastic pants. Lots of folks who now have home offices, find themselves logging into a Zoom meeting maybe. And below the screen, they might be wearing, comfortable pajama pants or yoga pants. But then above the screen, the part that you see on the Zoom call, people are maybe wearing a suit and tie or a nice blouse. And it's great to be comfortable. Oh, I love a good pair of comfortable jeans and sweatpants. That's fantastic. When it comes to our physical clothing, I love to be comfortable. I hardly ever wear high heels. I'm always in flats or some good old Dr. Scholl's inserts. I love to be comfortable in my physical clothing. But when it comes to our spiritual clothing, when it comes to considering these virtues that we put on, let us not become too comfortable. We have to take the words of Paul seriously. It's hard work. It might not always be easy. It might not always be comfortable to embrace compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and love. Sometimes the spiritual clothing we try on might not feel right or easy at first. It might feel like, this doesn't fit right, and we want to instantly toss it aside. But we have to keep pressing on to follow the call of Jesus, to live lives that beckon us to wear this clothing. And I'll tell you, sometimes you put on a pair of shoes and it doesn't quite feel right in the moment, but when you start walking in them, they maybe stretch out a little bit and you're like, yeah, now these feel right. And we start walking in those footsteps, in those marks of Jesus, we start walking in that, and all of a sudden, We're walking and compassion flows easily and kindness is there and humility and gentleness and patience and love. And it feels right. May it become more and more our basic all-purpose garment, never to be without it. This afternoon, as I head home from church to put on my Sunday afternoon casual clothing, I think I'm going to be considering this passage. I'm going to be considering this passage all week long. I hope that it's a scripture that you will ponder this afternoon as well, really this whole week long. From Paul's words, let us be challenged to consider the wardrobe choice that we wear. Let's be challenged to choose clothing like Christ. Let's be challenged to purge our closets and get rid of the clothing that doesn't fit or that shouldn't fit anymore if we claim the name follower of Christ. Last week, I started cleaning out my closets, my physical closets, tossing aside the old clothing that didn't fit. But now I think it's time for a little spiritual closet cleaning as well. Will you join me in that process? Do you have some old clothes you want to remove both physically, and do you have some new spiritual clothes that you want to try on this week? May we love like Christ, and may we follow Paul's challenge as he speaks to us today. Let's pray. Oh, holy and loving God, we had no idea that you were into fashion, that you were into clothing. But from the words of Scripture, we're encouraged and we're told to try on those virtues, to try on those virtues of Christ. And so help us to cast aside that stuff that doesn't fit or that shouldn't fit and put on the clothing of Christ, love and compassion. May they be our all-purpose garment that we're never without. Help us in the process of spiritual cleaning out, that we may walk more fully in your footsteps. In Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Good morning, church. God is good all the time. Amen. Well, I hope this morning finds you well, and I hope you're feeling blessed and spiritually uplifted as I am from the words and the music of today's service. And I hope that you carry that feeling with you into the upcoming week. Now, would you please bow your heads and join me as we turn to God in a time of prayer. Gracious and glorious God, we come before you this morning humble, but anxious and eager to learn all the things you have in store for us at this time. We wait in eager anticipation of all the wonderful things that we have coming into our lives as we try to put COVID-19 behind us. We know that through you and the Holy Spirit, our lives are touched as they can be touched by no other, to give us peace, to give us hope, and to give us reassurance that you are there for us, helping us, leading us, guiding us to find a better way. Slow us down, Lord, so that we may open our ears to that small voice that we miss so many times rushing around in our day-to-day lives. We listen for your word that we may share that word with others and be with them at their time of need. We open our eyes that we may see all the wonders of the universe that you have created for us, that we may experience all that life has to offer and all that you have to give, especially as we enjoy the season changing. We open our hearts that we may be there for others that are in need of your love and to do your work so that they may feel your love through us and know that you are there. Lord, we ask blessings on all those in need of you at this time, those suffering from physical ailments, mental disorders, financial problems, relationship problems, and those that are just out there looking, seeking, wondering, and waiting. not sure what their next step might be, not sure where they are headed, and not sure which way to turn. We want to guide them that the next step they take may be blessed by you and to a life full of your blessings. We also ask prayers for the people that need you the most, those that don't know yet that they need you. Help us help them find your way, to know your love, and to know that you are with us every step of the way, to know that even when things seem at their worst, we can turn to you and know that you are there. We pray for our leaders, the world leaders, the national, the state, and local leaders, that the decisions they make in this world are tempered by your love, guided by your hand, and blessed by your word. Help them to see clear so that the decisions that they make today may be the best for all of us. Bless us, Lord, that we may find the best you have in store for us, and that we can turn that around and do the best that we can to honor and praise you, to love those around us as you show for us. Help us show that same love to others, working together to make this world whole and to honor you as we do. Now, in this time of silent meditation, we ask for your ear to hear our concerns, our thoughts, and ask your blessings on our problems, as well as to hear our praises of you for all the glorious things that you have provided for us in our lives. When the disciples asked Jesus, "How should we pray?" he said, "Pray like this," and now we repeat that prayer he taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Well, I hope you have a blessed day. Enjoy the rest of the service. And remember, God loves you, and there ain't a darn thing you can do about it. Be blessed. Amen.
Friends, we've come to a time in the service when we have an opportunity to respond to God's invitation to come forward and receive these elements of bread and cup. And so we begin with these words of grace. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took a loaf of bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take this and eat it as often as you can in remembrance of me." And so when the supper was over, he took a cup and he gave thanks for it. And he said, "This is my love, which has been poured out for you. Take it and drink it as often as you can in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the whole world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. I invite you, from the comfort of your own home, to find elements of bread and cup and to exchange with one another or offer a blessing over those elements as you continue in worship in this time. And I invite you to either serve yourself or extend that grace to somebody else who you might be gathered with and worshiping with at this time. May you experience the power of the Holy Spirit and the interconnectedness of us all through the body of Christ as we receive these elements together. May God's grace and peace be with all of you. Amen. Friends, thank you so much for your support of our ministries here at the church. If this is becoming your spiritual home, we invite you to go online to our website and give electronically. You're also welcome to send checks to the church directly through the mail. We so appreciate the gifts that have come in over the last several months from folks who have found this to be a moving and uplifting service. We want you to know that these gifts are shared with us, are used to continue to build God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And we hope that you're able to share those gifts out of the abundance of what God has blessed you with in your life. Thank you so much for continuing to support the ministries of this church and all that God is trying to do in our world today. Amen.
Every move I make in you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. La 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 la. 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 Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your love has captured me. Oh my God, this love, how can it be? Every move I make in you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your love has captured me. Oh my God, this love, how can it be? Every move I make in you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I breathe in you. La 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 la. 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 La 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 la.
Amen.
Church, as we leave this time of worship, I just have an announcement I wanted to lift up. First, if you are a student, if you have finished eighth grade, if you're in eighth, just finishing up eighth grade through 12th grade, we would love to extend an invitation for you to be a part of the youth group's mission trip this summer. We're going to do a local mission trip to Detroit. It's going to be tons of fun. It's the week of July 18th. I hope you'll reach out to myself or Laura Kelly to learn more about the mission trip. You're not going to want to miss out. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be tons of fun. We're going to serve God. We're going to have fun in the city of Detroit. It's going to be wonderful. Reach out to me for more information. I would love to share it with you. And now, as we leave this time of worship, maybe we head home to take a look at our closets. Maybe there's something we want to pull off of our shelves and pull off the hanger, something that that doesn't fit right anymore, something that's faded, something that's outdated. Let's look at our clothing and think about what are we ready to get rid of. But let's also take a look then at our spiritual clothing and what are we ready to try on so that we might be more like Jesus each and every day, thanks to sanctifying grace. Go now with the love of God in your heart. Go out in the community to be the presence of Jesus to this world. Go with the power of the Holy Spirit, enabling you to serve God and embody grace for this world. Go in peace this day. Amen.
Thank you.